Good morning. Please note that in the worship service today, the third hymn as listed on the hymn board, 359, which will be sung after the Lord's Prayer, is printed on the back side of your bulletin. We begin our service with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with the light of your word. Lead us to confess our sins and to rejoice in your promise of salvation. Move us to love as we have been loved and to live as you would have us live, to the glory of your name. Amen. The order of service today is found printed in the liturgy insert inside the front cover of the Lutheran service hymnal. Welcome to the service in the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed heavenly prophet, king, and high priest. We'll be speaking about Jesus' work, his work in his office as our high priest, in some detail in the sermon today, particularly his work as our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. We pray the Lord to bless us in our worship together as we worship our Savior, Lord, and King and priest in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Have mercy on us, Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise of heaven. Joy and peace on earth we sing, we worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God Almighty, Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, the glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, only are the Lord, at God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. Almighty God, be merciful to us as you look upon your people, so that by your great goodness we may live under your direction and protection in both body and spirit. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Again, good morning.
Good morning.
Our first scripture lesson today is found recorded in the book of Jeremiah. We read there in the 31st chapter, verses 31 to 34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Here ends the first lesson. Let's join now in reading responsively portions of Psalm 143 as printed in your service bulletin. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy. Enter not into judgment with your servant. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I stretch out my hands to you. Answer me quickly, O Lord. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Our next lesson is drawn from the Gospel of John. We read there an episode not long before Jesus' death on the cross, while Jesus was in Jerusalem, and there were some non-Jewish people, some Greeks, who were searching him out and seeking him, and were wanting to know more about Jesus. And he, in the course of the story, made very clear that he had come to be the Savior both of Jews and of Greeks, of all people, and that by being lifted up on the cross, he would indeed draw all peoples to himself in faith. We read in John 12, 20 and following, "Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name.' Then a voice came from heaven, 'I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again.' The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, 'An angel has spoken to him.' Jesus answered, 'This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself.' He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die." Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.
Let us now confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our meditation today is recorded in the book of Hebrews. We read there back in chapter 4, starting with the 14th verse and then to chapter 5, verse 10. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, our gracious, heavenly King, prophet, and high priest, dearly beloved of God. If you think back to your younger days, especially you older folks, the years when you attended school, you may recall subjects that you studied like physics, geometry, English lit, world history, or some other subject, and you discovered probably there were some subjects that were easier to understand and grasp than others, some requiring a lot more study to grasp the truths that were being presented by the teacher. Could be that you may not have been particularly gifted in a certain area of learning, maybe not the best with numbers, not the best reader. And so you found it difficult for that reason, particular classes. For me, it was algebra, probably my least favorite subject, one I needed to study more to get a decent grade, all those numerical equations. You know that in our study of God's Word in the Bible, the same could be said in certain respects, that there are different subjects and different degrees of difficulty to comprehend various truths. Some basic, rudimentary, easily grasped, we call milk doctrines that even little children can readily comprehend, like Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He died on the cross to save me from my sins. And other more meat doctrines that require an extra measure of guidance from the Holy Spirit to understand and fully appreciate them, which God also gave for the furtherance of our Christian hope and our soul's comfort. Well, one such meat doctrine is the high priesthood of Jesus, at least certain aspects of that doctrine. And this morning, we want to spend some time discussing this under the theme, Learn about Jesus, your high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek. Now, a good place to begin consideration of this teaching is by considering who was this Melchizedek? Well, we meet up with him in Genesis in connection with the account of Abraham's rescue of his nephew Lot. We read there in Genesis chapter 14 about how a group of hostile kings or tribal sheiks, their names were Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of Goim, Aramaphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar. They invaded southern Palestine and they broke into and plundered the cities of Gomorrah and Sodom, and they seized all the goods, and they carried off as slaves also Lot. That was Abraham's nephew because he lived in Sodom. And when Abraham heard what happened, he chased after these kings for like 150 miles with a group of 318 trained servants from his household, and he defeated those kings. He brought his nephew Lot home with his family and all of his possessions, and it was after completing a successful military campaign against these kings that Melchizedek, king of Salem, a priest of God Most High, brought out some bread and wine to share with Abraham and then pronounced a blessing upon him, saying, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram then donated 10% of the captured booty to Melchizedek as a thank you to the Lord for what he had done, enabling him to give him the victory, and then returned the possessions that he had recaptured to the rightful owners, including the king of Sodom. And that's the only historical information that we have about Melchizedek. He mysteriously appears, as it were, out of the blue in the Bible account of Abraham's campaign against those four kings, and then disappears. He's kind of like just there. So the question comes, so what does it mean when in the New Testament we hear that Jesus was designated by God to be our high priest after the order of Melchizedek? Remember what I mentioned before in the sermon introduction? The Bible has some teachings that are a bit more deep than others, take a bit of more prayerful study to comprehend. And you might also remember, those of you that were present a couple Sundays ago, how I shared in the sermon, the New Testament is in the Old concealed, and the Old Testament is in the New revealed. Now, the New Testament reveals, and what it uncovers for us regarding Melchizedek is that, for one thing, he serves as a beautiful picture and prototype of Jesus, our high priest. Regarding Melchizedek, there's no record of his birth or death in the Bible, as mentioned. And that can serve to remind us that Jesus is our forever priest. There's never going to be a time, a day, or a period in your life when he is not going to be functioning as your representative before God and as your high-powered defense attorney before the tribunal of supreme justice. He always lives to make intercession for us. Then I'll consider also what that name Melchizedek means. Melech in Hebrew means king. Tzedek means righteousness, to remind us that Jesus is our king of righteousness. Through faith in him, we've been declared righteous before God. Our sins have been washed clean away. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. We also noted that Melchizedek was the king of Salem. You know what the word Salem means? It comes from the Hebrew word shalom, commonly used as a greeting by Jewish people when they meet or when they part. They say, shalom, peace be with you. Fare thee well. And so when Melchizedek is called the king of Salem, the king of shalom, Jesus is called a priest after the order of Melchizedek. It's a reminder that Christ is your king of shalom, of peace, in the highest sense. Came here to establish a peaceful relationship between us and our holy God by the laying down of his life on the cross. Something else about Melchizedek, king of Salem, he's the only figure in the whole Old Testament scriptures who was both a king and a priest, which reminds us that Jesus is our heavenly king and our high priest both. And the place where Jesus died was outside of what city? Jerusalem, which means city of peace, the city from which peace flows, where Jesus taught, preached, lived, walked, and offered up his life for us so that we might obtain peace with God. So even though we live in New Testament times, we don't have priests like they did back in the Old Testament, we do see, don't we, the rich meaning that this teaching has for our daily walk as Jesus' disciples. And something else we learn from this text about Jesus' work as our God-appointed priest after the order of Melchizedek, not only did he serve us then by offering his life a ransom on the cross for us, but he continues to serve as our high priest every day of the present. Just as it says in our text here, in the days of his flesh, when he walked on earth, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his reverence. Think about his prayer in the Gethsemane, where he prayed to his heavenly Father in our behalf for himself, but it was for us that he prayed that prayer too, and his high priestly prayer in the upper room. Father, I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that my disciples may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And I desire, Father, that they whom you've given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you've given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. And then he goes on in that prayer. I won't read it all. But that's a prayer that the Lord still offers for his people today. Again, he always lives to make intercession for us. And he's also able, as our high priest, as our text stresses, to sympathize with our weaknesses and lend us his almighty support. He knows what we're going through in our daily faith walk, the enemies to our faith that we meet up with, the challenges from our daily life, the temptation traps the devil, world, and flesh set down along life's path to trip us up and ensnare us. Because he was in every respect tempted just as we are, yet without sin, he is able to sympathize with us and help us in our weaknesses. Sometimes you might be inclined to say to somebody who's maybe trying to cheer you up and help you when you're passing through a rough stretch, well, you really don't know what I'm going through. Might be true of that person, but not Jesus. He knows what we're going through because he walked in our shoes and then some. He was tempted by Satan, struck by adversity, mistreated by foes, abandoned by friends, endured physical and emotional distress, the likes of which we'll never know. And so as our text encourages us, we may come with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. And finally, Jesus, our high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, is the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, to everyone who trusts in him as their perfect Savior. His is the one name, the only name, by which all people are saved. And any attempts to find a back door to heaven or another road leading to the Father in heaven, another Savior, they're all destined to end in futility, because Jesus is the way, the one whom our loving God provided for the salvation of all. And I'd leave you with this thought. You know, there's a lot we hear nowadays about DEI, you know that abbreviation? Stands for diversity, the presence and participation of individuals with varying backgrounds and perspectives, including those traditionally underrepresented, equity, equal access to opportunities and to fair, just, and partial treatment for all, and inclusion, a sense of belonging, to live and work in an environment where everybody feels welcomed and accepted. The glory of the gospel of God's grace in Christ our high priest is that our privileged status as his children is the result of God's extraordinary diversity, equity, and inclusion program that he developed in love for all. We all were hopelessly lost by nature, sinful and in need of a Savior. We all are unable to obtain righteousness that stands before God on our own. We all, regardless of our socioeconomic status, race, skin color, culture, importance in the sight of other people, have been declared righteous in Christ and are saved by his loving acts of service to us all. As our heavenly prophet, priest, and king, Paul's words in his Romans letter, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there's no distinctions between Jews and Greeks. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus, our heavenly King and prophet and priest. Amen. And the peace of God that is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind shall guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your
invite you to rise for prayer. O Lord God, almighty and ever-living King of all creation and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, hear our prayers. We thank you for the matchless gift of your Son, for the unsearchable wisdom that planned for our redemption through his death in our place, and for the promise of eternal inheritance, promise of an eternal inheritance through his death. Grant that through your Son, we may have your richest blessings, the forgiveness of our sins, deliverance from death and the power of the devil, and the assurance of everlasting life. Help us faithfully to honor Christ our Lord by faith and life, by word and deed. Help us to see clearly in him the eternal Godhead, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Inspire us to love and worship him in spirit and truth. By your abounding grace, lift up your church, O God, that we may be saved from all weakness and failure and empowered for service in your kingdom. Govern the nations of the earth so that people may live everywhere without fear and in the light of your saving gospel. Give your grace to our homes and schools so that our youth may be trained for usefulness in this life and for entrance into the life that is to come. Bless all who labor with mind or hand in providing the things we need for daily living, and give them the understanding that in all human toil, we are accountable to you. Help us to use our gifts as your stewards and for your glory. Dear Lord, be the comforter of the suffering and afflicted, the aged, those who are weak in body or spirit. Be the supplier of those in need, the protector of the fatherless and defenseless, and the light of salvation for all. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, our heavenly prophet, priest, and king. Amen. We also pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. $3.59 on your bulletin back page. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. 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 God of all creation, praise the Father's boundless love. Praise the Lamb, our expiation, priest and king enthroned above. Praise the Spirit of salvation, him by whom our spirits live, undivided adoration to the great Jehovah.